Coming up next, please join Global Life and Success Strategist Angela Carr Patterson for another episode of Soulful Conversations Radio Talk Show. Angela and her guests will discuss the lessons they've learned from the stories they dare to share, from relationships and love to wellness and money. Listen as they delve deep into conversations that awaken your soul. And now, here's Angela Carr Patterson at Soulful Conversations, informative, inspiring, and transforming.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Soulful Conversations Radio. I'm your host, Angela Carr Patterson. And once again, I am so delighted to have you join us. Happy Tuesday. I hope you're having a great day today, because here's what I'll say. It doesn't matter what you're going through today. You have the power to change it through a conversation. You have the power to language your life, as Oprah says. You see, when something seems to go wrong, we talk about it. We talk about it with others, and if the issue is shared, the conversation spreads where people can discuss it, add to it, and refine it. And when this happens, solutions are discovered and new perspectives of a better way begins to emerge. This process is what I call a soulful conversation. You know, those conversations that goes deep enough to get to the truth and awaken your soul. So I want you to be sure to stay with us for the entire show, because we do have a great show lined up for you, a special guest. And I am so delighted to be able to sit at the table with the co-host and interview this lady and have a soulful conversation. So do us a favor and let your friends know that we're here. Send them a text message, a tweet, a post, a pin, whatever it is that you do on social media, let them know to join us right here at Soulful Conversations Radio. .com, soulfulconversationsradio.net, or they can tune in on and listen online and join the conversation at 347-843-4620. That's 347-843-4620. And we can just cue them in. Now, at any moment during the show, if you have a comment, a question, or a share, just press the number one button one time, and that will let me know that you desire to speak, because usually our switchboard is lit up, and it is now. It's lighting up. So, and that lets me know that you desire to speak, and I can cue you in and unmute you. So, again, if you have a comment, a question, or share this, please feel free to call us at 347-843-4620. If you're already listening by phone, then just press the number one button, and I'll know you desire to speak. And so what I'm going to do now is bring on our co-host, a beautiful co-host, and welcome them, of course, once again, because we weren't here last week. I took a sabbatical, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in just a moment. And so let's bring on our co-hosts, Brandy and Susan. Hey, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It was morning here, Eastern Standard Time, so it may be another time somewhere else. But thank you, ladies, for joining us. I miss you, ladies. We weren't here last week.
And so,
I know.
Last Monday was my birthday, and it was my first birthday without my mom and my brother. And it was just a different kind of day for me, because birthdays are very, very important in our family, and my mom and my brother always made it very important to me, even though I was, you know, last year I was 55, but they made it important. In fact, there was a surprise party for me a week afterwards, and so they just always made birthdays important. And I woke up, I had a massage that morning, and I came home, and husband was like, "What do you want to go to dinner?" No. Kids was like, "What are we doing for your birthday?" Nothing. "What do you mean you're not doing anything?" I'm not doing anything. So I used that day to really, I did do some grieving, and I did some writing, some really good cleansing through writing, and just some reflecting and remembering, and I rest. And so Tuesday just kind of spilled over into that day, still writing and doing some reflecting. And looking at the turning point, you know, what it was a crisis is now a turning point, a wake-up call. What did I take from this, and what do I know for sure? and what is this new normal, going down this new road with an old map and an old itinerary that I had to get rid of in order to go down this road and not miss the new road that's in front of me. So I had to do a lot of that. So as you can tell with me talking, I did a whole lot, you know, those 2 days. And so that's what happened. So we just decided not to do the show last week. And, you know, when you work for yourself, you can do that, right?
That's right. That's right.
You do you. You can do that. You can do you. So that was what happened last week. And one of the things that I had promised during this journey of loss, you know, losing your mom, your sister-in-law, your brother, and then your grandbaby being diagnosed, 2-year-old grandbaby being diagnosed with cancer, you know, that's a lot for one family. And that was within, what, a 10-month span of each other, just, you know, just a whole lot. And I was not going to pretend to be Superwoman and get out there and travel, continue to travel all over the country and speaking. I haven't done a speaking engagement since October of last year, and I had to do that one, but I won't do another one until October 2018. I just wanted to be very transparent and be honest about this process so that people wouldn't look at me and say, oh, you're so strong, you're a superwoman. No. I'm just like everyone else, but I know the importance of process, and I'm going through the process.
Yeah. So, I'm proud of you, my friend. Very proud of you, because people, you know what? People need to see that it's okay. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to go through it, and everybody goes through it in a different way. So I'm proud of you, and whatever, you know, lots of people can learn from that, because a lot of people don't know what it feels like. They haven't been there yet.
It hurts, and that's just the truth. It hurts like hell, you know, it really does. It hurts. I miss them every day. They were such a woven fabric of my life. These people I talked to every day, several times a day, you know. And so it was like, you know, God, my norm is not norm. Nothing is the same anymore. But there are some things that are good. So, you know, I'm focusing on those things. So
how you know what,
Angie? Woman, but you're definitely courageous. So I'm really excited that you've decided to take a year to just reflect and spend time with yourself. I think sometimes we're afraid to do that, because when we step out of the mainstream, sometimes we're concerned about being forgotten or not being as relevant, but it's important to take time for yourself so that you can be whole and you can be at peace and you can come back even stronger. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And it's so, you know, and what, you know, a lot of my identity were tied into those people, you know, and so, you know, you got to kind of find a new identity, and you can't do that just overnight. You can't, and not me, and be honest about it. And so, you know, I had to look at how I had tied my identity into them, and that was not necessarily healthy. And so all of those things, questions, more questions than you had answers, and but an unnamed and unidentified circumstances that you couldn't even put a name to. And so this is life, and this is life as it is. I could not have predicted this for me and my family, but what I do know is that there have been many defining moments, wake-up calls, and turning points, and those things have been great, you know, and you can't go through this and it not shift you and make you go deeper and understand that there's a plan laid out for your life, a divine plan that's laid out for your life, and some of it has some curves and some swerves in it. And you can't go through this without it shifting you, without it making some transformation or expanding you. And that's what I was not going to. My mom always told me, she said, we're going to part company one day. And when I leave, I want to leave before you. Don't you die because I die. She always told me that.
That's right.
And so I understood that where I felt like I didn't want to breathe again, I remember she said, "Don't you die because I die." And basically she said, "Don't you embarrass me like that." That's what she said. So she's like, "Don't embarrass me like you don't know where I'm going when I die. And, you know, don't do that. Don't do that." And she made me promise that I would never do that. And so, you know, I am stronger because of it, more expanded, but so much in tune with my heart space. Oh my God, so much in tune with that, and so much in tune with making every moment, every minute of the day, every encounter count for something.
Yep.
Because you just never know what a day is going to bring. I woke up that day, everything was well. That night, my mother was dead. And I, you know, so you never know. So that's why, you love deeply, laugh hard, and live in each moment. Live fully, you know.
Yeah. So. You know what? Today is our gift. And I personally, and you know what I'm talking about, I personally know that from a personal place right now. And I'll tell you something. I was taking so much for granted, much for granted. And I'm telling you both, you're young, you're vital, but don't take that for granted. Take every moment and be grateful for it and just live, and be grateful for that. And, you know, I said so many times that, you know, I just felt like an invincible woman. I always have. I always have. And, you know, I know now that every day is your gift. So I'm just saying to all of you out there, from my mouth to your heart and your ears and wherever you live today, is do the best you can do. And I'm with you, and live life to the fullest. Laugh as hard as you can. Dance like nobody's watching. And love to the deepest part.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Love to the deepest part of your being, every fiber in your body. And you will leave this earth, you know, and a better place. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, and never say never, because it will be tested. I promise you that.
it will be tested. It will be tested. So, but you know, life is good. Life is not easy, but it is simple.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is simple.
And when we force or we resist, then we create more struggle. So learning to live within the flow of life is what I've learned. I got three of my grandbabies here today, and they've made a pact with Nana that while Nana's doing her radio show, that they're going to sit and be quiet because Nana promised ice cream.
There you go. Hey,
you got to
negotiate.
You got to go down it. I mean, they are making it their
ice cream.
They're waiting on the ice cream. You should see them. They are so waiting on the ice cream. They are.
I'm surprised that Granddaddy's not sitting there egging them on.
Papa waiting on ice cream, too.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
He's waiting on ice cream. So, but thank you, ladies, for understanding, and thank our audience for waiting on us to come back this week. And it was well worth the wait. Because we have an amazing guest here today with us, and I received an email from her, and I thought her story and what she was doing was just so phenomenal and fit so with us here at the Soulful Conversations table. So I think she's on. I think she's Sharon, are you
here.
There? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
So let me bring her on. Her name is Sharon Wilhelm. She calls herself an accidental filmmaker. She stumbled into filmmaking in 1999 when the documentary her husband was working on morphed into a narrative film, with her writing the script, directing, and playing the leading role. Since then, they've produced 6 million films, four of which have been widely distributed. Their movies have screened around the world and accumulated dozens of film festivals accolades, including many Best of the Fest awards. Their last movie, Providence, released to theaters as part of the AMC Independent lineup and screened at Times Square, Los Angeles, and other selected cities across the country. Sharon is currently getting ready for the theatrical release of her 7th film, Summer of 67, a Vietnam War love story told from the perspective of women left behind. It releases this weekend in Nashville, followed by additional theatrical festival and church screenings throughout the summer and the fall. Let's welcome to Soulful Conversations, Sharon Wilharm. Hi, lady. How are you doing?
I am doing good. Thank you.
Thank you for being here with us. It was just so interesting when I started, you know, doing my research and studying about you. And of course, the film is just going to be absolutely amazing. People are going to love this film told from the perspective of, you know, from the perspective, we never think about the women that were left behind and how this, how the war shattered so many women's lives, you know?
Exactly. You know, this is actually based on, my dad was on the USS Forrestal when it caught on fire, which is this tiny little obscure piece of history. But growing up, you know, my parents would talk about, they wouldn't talk in depth, but I knew something bad happened, you know, when my dad was, when I was even a baby, and when he was in the Navy. And later on, when they would tell me the story, you know, about what happened, and it was 3 days from the time that the news announced about the fire until my mom found out that he was alive. And I just, I imagined her being this young wife and mother, you know, alone, and, you know, and then I got to thinking, well, all those wives, the whole time they were going through that, you know, they didn't know whether their lives were going to be the same for a long time, and they weren't. So it really made me start thinking of what they went through.
Yes, that's because I never really thought about it, you know, never really thought about it. And so such an amazing story to tell, and I can't wait, you know, for to hear the feedback from it. So you said an accidental filmmaker. You stumbled across it. Isn't that something, how we end up taking over or doing things that our husband started?
It is, but you know, the wildest thing, and you know, God is an amazing, just so amazing. My senior year, I was at a Christian retreat, and there was this powerful speaker there, and I just heard God speaking to me and saying, "I'm calling you to do something, but what I'm calling you to do, you don't even know exists." And I'm like, what does that even mean? You know, like, what does this mean? You know, like, I'm calling you, but you don't know what this means. And then several months later, I was a friend and I were driving home from church, and all of a sudden I just had this vision of me in this auditorium, and there was all these people, and they were in the dark, and I was on the stage that was lit, and I was saying something, but I was really bothered because I couldn't see who I was speaking to, and I didn't know what I was saying. And so, like, I spent years going, God, what do these two things mean? But then several years ago when I was speaking after a movie, all of a sudden it hit me. That's what God was talking about, because that wasn't in my agenda of being a filmmaker. I thought I was going to be a missionary, you know, or a pastor's wife. And so he was right. That was not anything that I even knew existed. And God has used me to speak to people, those people sitting in the dark at the movie theater. That's how God has really used me to speak to people. So
that's
it was really cool.
That is so cool, because I think film and television and digital media, it all has the power to, we know that it has the power to sway attitudes and change behaviors. Because let's look at even the thing with Al Gore with the global warming. We never really paid that much attention till that movie came out. And there's so many other movies or shows that I've thought about that gave me more insight, that elevated an awareness about this or that that's going on. And I think that Summer 67 is going to do that. Number one, it's going to give those women, give those women a voice that had to endure and endure in silence and fear and isolation. And some lost their love, you know, their one and true love. And so there were some that lost their love and raised children without their fathers. So it gives voice to the voiceless. It gives a different look at what war can do to a family and do to the heart of a woman. And that's the thing that I like about this. And then I was looking at, you know, some of the parts about that mother-in-law. You know, these are real issues. You know, these are real issues. That busybody mother-in-law. what these women had to endure.
Yeah. She was worried about her baby boy, you know.
She was worried about her boy,
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And you had African-American couple in there, you know, so you put diversity in there. It was just really well thought out and just a great story to tell.
Well, thank you. I tried to cover, you know, like different aspects, so it's not just, you know, one story. It's each person, how they experienced it.
Yeah. The colors that was, it's a colorful story, and I always like that when you got different stories going on at the same time, and so it evokes a lot of feelings and emotions, and that, of course, you know, I could talk about movies and films all day, because, you know, I used to be on the other end. I supplied the talent for it, because when I had my agency, my model talent agency, I supplied the talent for the actors and stuff for the different films and movies. And so I get excited about this. And the other thing is because I just launched my media company, Soulful Media, and our goal is to elevate awareness and awaken souls with projects that are maybe, you know, hard projects or touchy subjects or controversial subjects or tough issues. And so we will focus on those types of projects, either film, you know, digital media or print media. And so we're excited about moving in that direction as well.
Yes, that's where we're headed, I think.
Let me ask you this. So you had to change direction and you got into the filmmaking. What would you advise, what would you say to my audience when because sometimes, Sharon, we can become so attached to the road that we're on and so attached to the itinerary that we have that we miss the new one when it appears. How did you not miss that?
Fortunately, because God just made it, made it so obvious, because, like, you know, people act like, oh, I bet you've always wanted to be a filmmaker. Is this, like, your life's dream? And I'm just like, no, I didn't even want to make movies when I was making them, you know. And after each film, I said, God, never again, because especially in the early ones, because I wasn't good at it. And I don't like to do things that I'm not good at. And I'm just like, God, I don't know what I'm doing, so why on earth did you have me doing it? And then he said, well, get good at it, you know. I've called you to this. Learn what you're doing. And so then it kind of changed once I took it seriously, you know. And I think a lot of times God gives us this, you know, path that we're supposed to take, and we resist it because we feel, you know, there's so many people that are better qualified, or, you know, I want to do something else that I feel like I'm better at. But I'm really thankful that God did open up that door and that I listened. I wish I would have worked harder earlier, you know. But, you know, all we can do is our best. And, you know, now that's what I do. It's when we're making movies. And also, like, I feel it's just as important how I'm off when we're filming, you know, because it is an experience for each of those people. So I consider that my ministry is reaching each of the actors and the crew and helping to mold them and train them. And so there's a lot more than just what you see on the screen. There's so much that goes behind. And so that's part of my ministry, too.
It's so much that happens on the sets, because I've been on sets before with in the work that I've done, and it's amazing how spending so many days on a set with the same people, how you become close and connected, you know, and relationships are formed, and it's amazing because you're long hours and all you have for each other. Even you become connected with the caterer because she knows now by the third day, she knows what you like to eat and what you don't like to eat. But it's you become a family. And so
exactly. We always call it a film family.
It's a family. So it's so it's so amazing. And because you got to go so deep in yourself to do this work, creative work, then you're dealing with heart, with heart, and so I think that's the connection there when you're doing this work. But when one of the things that you said wasn't good at it. But don't you believe? And this is to everybody, to Susan and Brandy as well. Don't you believe if you stay with what you're good at and with what you know, then you're not growing anymore?
Exactly. You know, because, and like this is our seventh film, and you would think it would get easier, but it gets more challenging because each time it gets bigger and God keeps pushing us, you know, and it's like, I can't do this. This is bigger than me. And so we need him. When the projects are bigger than us, then we really depend on him. And that's what one of the ladies in our crew said. She's like, this was a God-sized project, you know. And so we just all had to depend on him because we knew there was no way we could all pull it off. We had to have him.
That's awesome.
This is Susan. Sharon, congratulations to you and your husband and to the entire crew, because I can't even imagine. This is so out of my wheelhouse, but I'm fascinated. I really am fascinated by it. That's more my era, you know, the Vietnam War and all of that. You know, that's when I was a teenager. In fact, I lost some friends, very dear friends that I went to school with, that went to the Vietnam War and didn't come back. And, you know, just very sad time, very, very sad time. So I'm sure that that's been an emotional journey for you, you know, just to kind of learn a lot about what went on and what happened and how I think, this is my personal opinion, ladies, so don't slay me for it, but I think it was such a senseless war. That's my opinion. I just think it was.
See, that's what was part of the problem, is because nobody understood the war.
Right.
And everybody was kind of caught in the middle, and, you know, there were so many differing opinions. And so I tried to capture all that kind of confusion, you know, because nobody really knew what was going on. And I did.
Nobody
it was interesting.
Knew why.
No. But, you know, they were called to serve their country, and they did.
Right.
And I know my mother, I remember when the soldiers started coming back from Afghanistan and they were getting like a hero's welcome. And my mother got really angry. And I was like, you know, why are you so upset? It's like, they didn't do that when your daddy came home. When he came home, it wasn't like this. And it just upset her. And even all those years later, she was still upset at the way that the men were treated. And
it was terrible.
It was terrible the way they did them. They did not take care of those guys. And and here's the deal: my brother and my stepdad are both Vietnam vets, and so my brother, of course, went over there as a baby. You know, my mom said she put a baby on the plane, and he came back a man, but he had lost so much weight, and you know, was so small, and just and of course. seeing something like that changes you, and it changed him forever, mm-hmm. you know. And even with my stepdad, you know, they still have things. You know, my dad had Agent Orange and all of those mm-hmm. different things that they were exposed to. So they destroyed those men and did not take care of them. I remember when I married Bill, and he was like, "Why is your father still working?" Because he had retired from the military, and he was working at Michelin. And I said, "I guess because he got to work." He said, "Didn't you say your father was in Vietnam?" I said, "Yeah, he was in the military 20 plus years." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Somebody did not exit that veteran out of the military appropriately." So he mm-hmm. sat down with my dad and got information and went out to VA. My dad came back and put in his 2 weeks notice because he realized that what my husband had showed him and taken him out to have that conversation, that he was going to fare off really good sitting on his mm-hmm. butt. And he was tired. He was ready to retire.
Yeah.
So he put in his 2 weeks retirement. And so he hasn't had to work since because, you know, no one ever sat down and told my father that these resources and these benefits were available to him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's right.
And so that's the thing. We have to take better care of the military families. That was one of, that was one of Jill Biden's, either Michelle Obama, Jill Biden's, that was their focus when they were in the White House, to do more mm-hmm. for the families. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, This is good. So let's talk about where you're going to be. Your release will be this coming weekend. Is it this coming weekend in Nashville?
Yes, it's this Friday. Yes, in Nashville. And we'll be there for a whole week if we do well. Hopefully mm-hmm. it'll be longer.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. then we're going to be doing additional screenings. We've got some already lined up. We've got some that are in the works that we haven't announced yet. But we'll be doing it theaters and festivals and churches mm-hmm. Just around the country. And if anybody has a church and they'd like to do a church screening, we have on mm-hmm. our website where
okay.
they can, you know, get with us. We're not charging a license fee or anything for churches that screen
mm-hmm.
it up until Veterans Day. And then
okay.
at Veterans Day, we're looking for our home entertainment and DVD release.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we're really excited about is we connected with a USS Forrestal organization, and they're having a reunion in September of guys that were
mm-hmm.
on the USS Forrestal, and so we're going
mm-hmm.
to Norfolk to that, and we'll be screening with
wow.
them and talking with them. So we're really looking forward to that.
Yes, that sounds great. That sounds really good. And so to find out more, you can go to the movie website at summerof67.com, correct?
Yep. It's really easy. We were pretty excited
mm-hmm.
to get that domain.
Mm-hmm. I know. How easy. How great was that? Summerof67.com. And
mm-hmm.
They're all over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
Summer 67 movie. And so I'm just so delighted that you were open to God dropping this in your heart to produce bodies of work that speaks to the heart is so much of what we need today more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you
yes.
for that. Ladies, you have any questions?
So I have a question about... Go ahead, Susan.
No, go ahead, Brandy. No.
So I have a question about just how you choose the topics that you're going to share. I'm most probably one of the folks on the call who knows people who served but is not very familiar with what happened during that time. And mm-hmm. I think it's, as I've been looking at more historical films, I just watched 1968, which was like the CNN documentary that talked about all of the things that happened in 1968 and just the angst of that year.
Mm-hmm.
And actually seeing that helped me to better understand how people were feeling about the Vietnam War. So how do you choose the movies that you're going to tackle, and how important is it to make sure that people in this day and age and even millennials understand the importance and the relevance of that time period that you chose.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, honestly, this particular movie was inspired by the times right now because, you know, I wrote it 2 years ago, and at the time everything was feeling very turbulent. There was, you know, we were having a lot of riots and, you know, just a lot of discord amongst people. And I was just so concerned about our country and the state of things. And then, you know, I got to thinking, you know, our country has been through difficult times before, and God was there then. And he's with us now, and, you know, he's not caught by surprise by any of this. He knows what we're going through, and he's there through it all. And so I just kind of drew on that, you know, like I have this story, you know, like all my life I've heard this story. Why don't I pull on that and use it? Because if I just talk about people now, people will tune me out. But if I said it in '60s, I can say the same thing, but people will listen because you can see, hey, those people struggled with this. I'm struggling with this now. And so that was my goal, is to just show a younger generation, A, so they have a better appreciation for what people went through. And so when they see, you know, veterans that are struggling or whatever, or, you know, have things that they're dealing with, they can better understand why. And, you know, try to get away from some of the romanticized, like a lot of our young, the young actors, they were excited about being hippies. I've always wanted to be a hippie. You know? And so kind of showing both sides of it, you know. And I just feel like that was the purpose of this, is to, you know, show people a little bit of history, and in that help them to see themselves and to feel some peace and comfort, because whatever you're going through, God has been there, you know. He's there right with you, and he's going to see you through it.
And I think that's really important, to show the similarities in time frames and what happened then and what happens now, because sometimes we repeat things because we haven't paid attention to history in the past. So I see quite a few hippies out here in California. So if you need any extras for
believe it or not, there's still some here in South Carolina.
But you know what I love about California, LA, when I go out there, the freedom that people have just to be who they are, you know, and especially when you go down Hollywood Boulevard, man, you see any and everything out there, you know. So
still living that time period. So
Susan,
you had a question.
I was just going to ask Sharon, you know, I'm a very creative person, and I guess kind of how you, as a creative, did you know you were a creative person when you got into filmmaking, or did you just kind of fall into it and your creativity kind of appeared? You know?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, I had kind of each of those skills from my past. I just hadn't put them together in that use. Like, I was a writer, but I was a journalist, and so I wrote for newspapers and magazines. And I had directed, but I had directed drama in church, so I was I had a theater-type background. And I had acted, but again, I had acted on stage and never on film. So God took those skills and just adapted them.
Yeah, that theater is a great base background for you, though. It was.
It is. It just took me a while to transition, you know, because you're taking the same thing. You're just approaching it from a different angle.
Yeah.
And I tend to be an over-the-top kind of person, and that works well on stage because I have
film
these facial expressions and stuff. And on film, that's really bad. You know, film, you speak with your eyes, and, you know, it should be very underplayed. And so that was... I decided I was most comfortable being behind the camera instead of in front of it. I love stage, but I don't like the camera.
The stage, you can play out, and you can always play off the people, and it's a little bit more dramatic, you know. See the man run down the road, but then with film, it's like, look, see the guy running down the road? So it's
exactly
a lot different. And so, and I know when I was in doing my business, when I would get a lot of the theater students to come in and say, well, I want to do some film, some TV and film, I thought, well, listen, we got to tone down everything about you, you know, because you can't take that on stage. You can't take that on the set. But they all give you a great base, though, because I always know that classically trained singers make the best gospel singers or the best singers, period, is when they've been classically trained. And so you having that base. This is so good because when I saw it, I was real surprised when I got the email. And I said, this is so timely because, you know, I've come full circle. Because even when Susan and I met, I was exiting the whole performing arts, the whole entertainment industry, moving into women empowerment. And now that I've been in women empowerment for, you know, about, 10 or 11 years, I'm going back into the entertainment with the empowerment piece now. And so it's and I never thought I ever would go back into anything dealing with the entertainment. But it's definitely a platform to share. It's a different platform than just writing a book or getting on stage and speaking. It it gives you another platform to use, and I want to use as many platforms that are available to me to get my message out. And so I think, and then so when I was contemplating and in the midst of putting Soulful Media together, launching it, I got the email from you, and I was like, okay, okay, God, I hear you. That's
just
cool. Amazing.
I love the way he works.
I know, right?
It's amazing.
It's just so good. Thank you so much, Sharon, for being here. And we're going to say this again. It's Summer of 67. It's a Vietnam War love story told from the perspective of women left behind. And it releases this weekend in Nashville, followed by additional releases and screenings throughout the summer and the fall. And you can find out more by going to Summer of 67, the number 67, summerof67.com, summerof67.com. And you can book a screening. You can find out where it's going to be planned so you can attend. I think it's a great girlfriend movie to take. It's a great girls trip to take. So you can sit down and talk about the feelings and the things and some of the experiences that these women had experienced in 67 that we're probably experiencing right now in 2018. So, and this is the filmmaker, Woohoo Girl Power filmmaker, Sharon Wilmar. Thank you so much for sharing the story, and we appreciate it. And don't be a stranger. Please come back. Anything you'd like to say to the audience before you leave?
Well, just, you know, since we're getting ready for the release, if they want to join us in praying specifically for the people that will see it, the people that God will bring, the people who need that, you know, message of healing, and that he will just use it to bless hearts.
Good. Thank you. Yes. And you're doing a great job with a great job with extending that, allowing God to be that extension of himself in the earth through you. And when and isn't that what we're all here to do? And to give, to contribute our bundles and our gifts and our talents in a way that is going to transform and make the world a better place. And because you said yes, Sharon, we all get to benefit from that. Thank you so much for being here. Again, thank you. Summerof67.com. Thanks. Have a great day, Sharon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon.
Goodbye. Thank you. That was Sharon Wilharm. That was good. That's a good interview. Great interview. I am excited about what she's doing. And I looked at the trailer, and it's going to be a really good film.
So, you know, as I think about 1967, I hadn't thought about that year in a long, long time. Because I graduated from high school in 1969. So that was like right in the middle of, you know, my high school years. And, you know, that was when you know, people that I knew and knew well were, you know, a couple of years ahead of me, but were leaving high school and going off to Vietnam. And there were some great times during that time, but there were some really tough times that feelings came up in me, you know, when I thought about 1967. So I would love to see that movie.
I think it's worth a watch.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it's going to be really good. That's when my brother graduated high school in 67 and went straight into Vietnam. You know, he went straight there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so that is just, and I can remember, I was a little girl, but I can remember those feelings, you know, of fear, because I saw my mom and my grandmother were fearful. And I can remember the temperature, the environment, the energy in the home. And I remember him coming home with that green satchel on his back and his uniform and me running and jumping up on him when he came home. I remember that,
mm-hmm.
And how grateful my mom was to see him, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
You're scared. Yeah. You're absolutely scared. So if she can capture that in a film from the perspective of the women that were in home, the moms, the wives, the girlfriends. There were girlfriends that were planning to get married, and that never happened.
Yes.
And so this is a great way for them to heal some old wounds, to revisit and heal some old wounds that they probably have been carrying. So that's why I'm so excited about, you know, the launch of my media company, is to be able to do more of that kind of work. And like I say, to go where the written word can't go. And I just believe films and digital media and all of that is just, it's powerful now. And so it's a great time. That's why you got Netflix and Hulu. You got all these, because people are binge watching movies now, you know, these stories. And so it's a great time to tell some stories that need to be told.
Yes, I agree.
Brandy, what you got coming up? Because I know you got something coming up.
No, I'm actually, like, I have a book signing and some things that are kind of future, but for the summer months, I'm just really spending some time getting clear about next steps. Ever so often, you need to recalculate and refocus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm figuring out what the fall and next year should really look like. I'm taking some time to do some trips and things with family members. My mom was just here. I'll be at Essence just hanging out and enjoying life.
Okay, so you're going to Essence. All right, okay.
I am, but I think it's important to spend that time doing nothing.
Yeah. There it is, doing nothing. And, you know, I was, I said, I needed to be nobody for a minute. You know, I really did. I needed to be nobody for a minute. And let me tell you how hard that can be when you're accustomed to doing and being in the mix and doing. I said, okay, let me stop. And I, you know, I had an obligation to the people that are already my mastermind team. And that was pretty much all that I focused on, my mastermind group that I was working on. But I needed to be nobody for a moment. And so I had asked that question in one of my groups, and, you know, who are you without all of your accomplishments, without your achievements, without your degrees, without your to-do lists, your roles, your hectic schedule, you know, your clients, your speaking, your workshops, your business, your career. Who are you when you don't have to be empowering, inspiring, wise, or have answers for everybody? What would that look like? What would that mean for you to just be nobody for a minute? And are you willing to find out? And I was surprised that some of the women was like, You know, that's a good question. I have no idea. And
that's hard.
One lady said she hadn't seen that girl since high school, and everybody was just like, you know, it's a good question, it's worth asking. And when you ask yourself that, what question? And I did, and I sat down and I wrote, you know, because I have to write it, I have to see it. I realized how attached to those things I was, and how irrelevant they became when I lost people that meant something to me, and and when I was just having these reoccurring losses, those things were not as high on the totem pole. And for me, it's now my mantra is do less and be more. And I'm telling you, as I began to activate that philosophy in my life, my business grow. It's like it's taken on a life of its own, and it's growing organically. And there's no hustle. There's no, I got to do this, I got to do that. It's just being more. And as you be more, you radiate bigger. And as you radiate bigger and stronger, then it brings back to you the things that match that. And so it was just a great.
It also brings to you the things that matter. It brings the energy and the people that matter and that are important. And, you know, this past weekend, I'll tell you two quick things. My mother came to participate in her brother's funeral, and it was a brother that was kind of disconnected. And if anyone's read my book, you understand why. It was a huge deal for me to be present in that space for her this weekend as she buried her brother, who was my uncle. You know, and I didn't have a relationship with him. And in honesty, I wasn't present with him at Thanksgiving when they invited me, because I was on this, oh, I've got all this stuff to do, I just need to sleep mess, and didn't have a chance to meet him. Now he's gone, right? And so I've just made a very conscious decision this year, once I met this man of my dreams, that I was going to focus on loving and being in a relationship and, you know, spend the time doing those heart-affirming things that make more sense to me. I went to a event where I spoke, and I gave away all my books to some youth that were there in the room because I felt like they needed them. Like, that's what's driving me right now. And so I'm just, I'm present for that. I'm into that space. And the rest of it, you know, these people who heap all these accolades on you and say they love you so much, when something goes south, they're not going to be there. But my mom will.
They're not going to be there.
And my
honey
will. Yeah,
your mom will. Right.
My daughter's
Absolutely.
You know, so I think making that space is critical, critical.
And even, Brandy, as a mom and a grandmother, you know, and my kids are grown, and Angie, I think you'll say this too, your kids are, they're loners, because your daughter, she's going to have her own place to be, even though she'll always be there for you, but not like she is right now. When she's in college, she, you know, it's different. Once she has a family, it's different. So you gotta be a little selfish sometimes.
You gotta carve out that
be,
space for yourself. Yeah. You gotta
You gotta
go back, and that's what I did. I had to go back and reclaim those disowned parts of myself that you know, that I had somehow left on the table. And because really, like I said yesterday, you know, the plan that I had intended, how things were going to turn out, was replaced with circumstances that I never could imagine. So I had to recalibrate, reroute, you know, dig a little deeper, understand that the outdated map that was designed years ago was someone else's idea how I was supposed to be. and how I was supposed to live.
Exactly.
And that is important, lady. That is important. That is so important. You know, who says that I have to be with my kids and my grandkids for Thanksgiving?
Who says
that? I don't have to do that.
No.
That's somebody else's idea of how I was supposed to live my life. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
so, and yep. because when I'm willing to recalibrate and reroute, guess what? It gives them the freedom to do the same thing. Maybe we do
That's
one
right,
holiday
right.
together. Maybe we do one holiday together, and the rest they can do on their own. You know, and so it was just like, okay, I don't live in that world anymore. Yeah, just can't.
A vice.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier about just living. She was like, live.
Live
on your own terms, mm-hmm. the way you want to live, mm-hmm. doing the things you want to do. Yeah.
Yep.
But you know what? You don't even realize how subtly you start taking on and living somebody else's idea of how you're supposed
mm-hmm.
to be. And so
yep.
that's why it's important to go on and color outside that line, you know, and it's okay because when you get to where I'm at, or Susan, you're like, okay, let me look
mm-hmm.
back and let me say, okay, now I got to go back and reclaim this disowned part of myself that I was not willing to face. You know, I've got to go
mm-hmm.
back and reclaim the part that was given over to someone else. And
yeah.
so just we leave so much of us on the table for the sake of what we think we're supposed to be and what we think we're supposed to do. And there's a resentment that lies under it all. And so I just decided, no, I'm not going to do that because I have to be able to be okay when I look in the mirror and say, this is my awakened truth. This is
mm-hmm.
my truth. And so that, and I think that
yep.
Go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you.
Mm-hmm.
I just
mm-hmm.
said yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I'm starting to find out
you
that
don't,
so many people are there. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the thing, ladies. We all are the example for our kids to follow.
Mm-hmm.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is what we teach.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you like it or not, it's the truth. And
mm-hmm.
so many of us are teaching something that we learned. It's kind of like the example of why do we cut the ends off the ham? Because our grandmothers did, because their pot was too small. We didn't know that. The ham wouldn't fit in a pot, but we still do it.
So we thought it was what you're supposed to do.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
yeah.
right. You know?
That is funny. That's a good one.
Well, it's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, I do things and I never questioned my mom why she did them, but her mom
did
them.
It.
And it's probably because.
Yeah.
The pot was too small.
That is good. Well, we've come to the mm-hmm. end. I just want to make sure people understand that. Go ahead and revisit those old identities and see what needs to change, you know. And because we try hard to hang on to those old patterns and behaviors and beliefs and discover that they no longer really – what I found is they're no longer available. Why? Because I've changed. I can't be that person anymore. Even if I wanted to, I can't be that person anymore. So, and women everywhere are saying the same thing. Young and older, they're saying
mm-hmm.
the same thing. So, just go ahead and be who you were meant to be. Thank you, ladies, for joining me again. And thanks, Sharon Wilharm, for your movie, Summer of 67. Be sure to go to summerof67.com to learn more. It premieres this weekend in Nashville, and you'll be able to find where else they're going to be. We'll be back here next week with another exciting episode. Thank you, Brandy. Thank you, Susan, for sharing this table and always sharing your truth. And to our listening audience, thank you for joining us once again. And remember, all change starts with a conversation, but not just any conversation, a conversation that goes deep enough to awaken your soul. Bye-bye, everyone.
You've been listening to Soulful Conversations Radio Talk Show with Angela Carr Patterson. We want to thank our guests and our listening audience for joining us for another exciting episode. Be sure to tune in next week where, once again, Angela and her guests will share a conversation, not just any conversation, but one that awakens your soul. To contact Angela or to learn how to become a part of her growing Global Awakened Life community, simply log on to www.angelacarrpatterson.com.